back in Judges 13. Last week we saw the first part of this chapter where the angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and he explained that her son, Samson, was going to be a lifelong Nazarite. Now today we'll finish out this chapter and we'll focus on Manoah, the father, and how he reacted to this visit from Jesus Christ there in the Old Testament. So starting in verse 8, it says, "Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, and he said, 'O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.'" We don't know a lot about Manoah, but he does seem to have some relationship with the Lord. Now, what we're going to find is that he doesn't always seem to get it when it comes to God's revelation. He doesn't really listen when God is speaking or anybody around him is speaking, but he does have a relationship with the Lord. So the application for us this morning is that God wants you and I to get it in this life. He reveals himself so that we can live dynamic and meaningful lives. That's what God wants. The revelation that he gives us is trustworthy and it is practical. And when we're looking for wisdom or direction or help, God's revelation is where we go in order to receive it. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "God is not the author of confusion, but he is the author of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." So God desires that we be men of wisdom and peace, and he has supplied it in a practical way. Mistakes, miscommunications, and missed opportunities can be a result of us not taking God and his word at face value. However, when we listen and apply what the Lord has revealed to us, that is when God can move powerfully in our relationships and in our circumstances. And so here in verse 8, where we read Manoah's prayer, we see two signs that aren't great. First sign, he didn't recognize Jesus in his wife's description. Remember, she had described him as a man who gave her great promises about a future son and whose countenance was, quote, "very awesome, like the countenance of the angel of God." And so she seemed to understand who she was talking to, and he didn't. Throughout this chapter, there seems to be an indication that Manoah's wife got it, that she understood who they were dealing with, and while her husband struggled to grasp the situation as a whole, he had a hard time recognizing Jesus. Second not-so-great sign in verse 8. Manoah wasn't very familiar with God's word. The son of promise was to be raised as a lifelong Nazarite. And that was clearly stated. The conditions of such a vow were also explicitly stated in the law of Moses. However, Manoah seemed to be at a loss as to what it meant to be a Nazarite and how exactly they were going to raise this son of theirs. And he wasn't really listening to his wife and asked the Lord to come back and tell him again. Now, when we are unfamiliar with God's word, then we're going to be unfamiliar with God's ways. And so the Bible is what we need in order to learn about God's ways. It is the revelation not only of God, but also of his way of life, his will, and his methods. And so in our lives, not every specific thing is known to us, but the Lord works hard to provide wisdom and insight for daily living. If we want to be familiar with his ways, then we need to be familiar with his words. Now, the other issue is that of not recognizing Jesus. In our lives, I think this could apply to us recognizing the instances where God is speaking to us or recognizing the opportunities that Jesus desires us to minister in. And we'll see a little bit more about that in a moment. Verse 9 says, "And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her." We cannot help but see God's grace as he interacts with the people of the Bible. In a sense, Manoah's prayer was, "Hey, Lord, could you send that guy back to talk with us again? Because I don't really understand what the deal is here." And the Lord did come back. The Lord was gracious and faithful. And this is great grace. Again, we just find over and over again a God who desires to reveal, who desires to explain, who desires to give wisdom and guidance and understanding to his people. And not only that, but he then provides simple and plain and accessible avenues for us to receive that wisdom. You know, it's really easy to, you know, you see in the world religions where, you know, God comes down, you know, mythically and says, you need to do this, but then doesn't provide any avenue really for people to do that in a simple and plain way. And the Lord does that as we open up the Bible and see how he interacts with his people. Now, we don't really know much about Manoah, as we said, but here in chapter 13, there is an unfortunate trend of his missing out on what God is saying and doing. I guess we could say he's just not really locked into his relationship with the Lord, and because of that, he had a lot of confusion and misunderstandings. Now, this may not be a fault, but in this verse we see that he wasn't out in the field when Jesus appeared. We might be reading a little bit into the text, but there are two things that we can notice that show that maybe he should have been out there. First, the text highlights her husband was not with her. And then second, it could have been a coincidence, but maybe Manoah was a little bit of a couch potato. We see in verse 11 that he might have just been lounging around while his wife was out there in the field. Look at verse 10. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband, and she said to him, "Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me." So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." And what are we seeing here? First and foremost, we see that God is always long-suffering. In these Christophany passages, Jesus often has to just sit and wait around while the other people that he wants to talk to get there. I mean, can you imagine that from the other perspective? So Jesus Christ in pre-incarnate appearance to somebody, and he shows up and he says, "Hey, I'm here to talk to you." And they say, "Okay, wait a minute." And then they got to run back to the tent, or like the one with Abraham, they have to slaughter an entire goat and wait for them to prepare it. And they're making cakes and stuff like that. And Jesus is just kind of kicking back, being long-suffering and waiting. He's gracious. He's patient. Secondly, we see that Manoah isn't much of a listener. Again, his wife comes in and she says, "Hey, the guy I saw who talked to me the other day, he's back." And when Manoah gets there, he's like, "So who are you? Are you this guy, or is my wife just off her rocker?" You know. And I think what I learn here is that I need to listen more. For those of us who are married and whose wives are Christians, we need to listen to the things that God is telling our wives. We need to have open ears when people we know and love have things to tell us about the Lord. Now, when people tell us things about the Lord, we need to test them, but we should be listening. We shouldn't assume that our wives or our fellow Christians don't know what they're talking about. And I think you just get a little whiff of that in Manoah's countenance. I don't think he really listened to his wife, and I don't think he really trusted what she said, if only because he keeps missing the wisdom throughout this entire chapter. Verse 12 says, Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule in his rule of life and his work?" Again, we just find a failure to listen. The boy was to be raised a Nazarite, as prescribed in the first appearance and detailed in Numbers chapter 6. His work was that he was going to be a deliverer of Israel, as explained back up in verse 5, like his wife had told him. But it seems as though that conversation that Manoah and his wife had gone in one ear and out the other. If we want wisdom and guidance from the Lord, then we must be men who listen to God's word. Our hearts and our minds should be soil for God's word, not filters. The purpose of the Bible is not for us to find one or two ideas or verses that really resonate with us and the rest gets filtered through as unimportant or inapplicable. Instead, our lives are soil and the whole word of God should take root and then bear fruit. We need to listen as God speaks. But we also need to listen while others are speaking. The direct application from our passage is that we need to be men who listen to our wives, taking time and energy to listen and to hear them. I'm speaking to myself here because there are a lot of times that I notice I'm talking to my wife and I realize that I wasn't really listening the way that I should have been to what she was saying, and that's not okay. Our relationships with our wives and with the other people around us will be greatly served if we simply determine to listen more. Verse 13 says, "So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe.'" Such grace here. Christ is gracious to repeat his message and impart it directly to Manoah. It's important to note that he did not change the message. If we as ministers of the gospel ever find the message changing, there's a problem, because God's message and his word and his commands are unwavering. Don't change the message. 15. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you." The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. The poor guy is just not getting it. It's almost sad. It's almost funny, but it's just kind of sad. He's not recognizing Jesus. And when we fail to recognize Jesus, then we fail to respond properly to what's going on. Practically, it works out like this. You're driving to work and you're listening to a Christian radio or a Bible study or something. The DJ or the preacher says a phrase or a verse or an idea that stands out brighter than the other things that you've been hearing or thinking about. And if it's in line with the Bible, because we need to be good Bereans, then that is an opportunity for you to recognize that Jesus Christ is speaking to you. Or maybe you're at work and a coworker comes up to you and he says that he's having a problem at home with his wife. And we should recognize that as that situation as Jesus' intervention in our lives, where he transforms our job site into a mission field where we can do some serious eternal work. We need to recognize these things. Because when we recognize Jesus' word or his leading, then we're going to be able to respond properly. Manoah wasn't really responding properly. He thought maybe they should make a meal or maybe they should make an offering because he didn't really understand who it was that was speaking to them, so he didn't know what to do. Verse 17 says, "Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What's your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you.'" And Manoah is just still trying to figure out this situation. He's not connecting with God, and therefore he doesn't grasp that at the very moment the Creator was speaking to him and planning things for him and invigorating his life. Now this can happen to us if we disconnect from the Lord. If we slip into apathy, then we become numb to all the wonders of God and all of his words and all of his ways. Apathy causes a spiritual fog to sit in our lives, and we miss these incredible opportunities that God gives us to hear from him or to do his work. The angel of the Lord said in verse 18, "Why do you ask my name, seeing that it is wonderful?" I like the NIV version as well. It says, "He replied, 'Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding.'" In one sense, you could almost hear the Lord making a joke. "Yeah, you're not really understanding anything else that's going on right now, so I don't think you'll understand my name either." I think that's reading more into the text than is there, but what we do see is Christ graciously, patiently going through this situation with a man who's pretty thick-headed, spiritually speaking. The practical application for us here is, thanks, Lord, because I am in no short supply of thick-headedness myself. Yet our God is faithful and patient to reveal himself to us. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven and the altar. The angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. Our text said that the Lord called his name Wonderful, and then we see him do a wondrous thing before Manoah and his wife. Jesus Christ is wonderful, and his desire is to do wondrous things in your life as well. He desires to do a wonderful work in your marriage and in your parenting and in your witness and in your devotional life. That's what he wants. He's a wonderful God who does wonderful things in and through his people. There's a lot of great devotional meditation on this image of Christ ascending in the flame. I'll let you sit back and think about that the rest of the day. But by now, certainly, Manoah understands what's going on, right? Maybe not. Verse 21. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. So after all that, after Jesus is gone, he finally pieced it together. He hadn't really been seen, he hadn't really been listening, but finally he understood that he had been in the presence of God. So let's see what he said. Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahaneh Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So he knew it was the Lord, but he hadn't really listened to anything that the Lord had said, or at least he hadn't understood. He expected imminent destruction, even though Jesus had already left them there at the altar and said, "Here's what I'm going to do in your life starting 9 months from now," you know. You can't blame a guy for trying, but Manoah simply wasn't very familiar with the things of the Lord. In this chapter, we find him as a man who wasn't really watching for the Lord, wasn't really listening to the Lord, didn't understand much about the Lord. But God still loved him, and that's a great but. But God still loved him. He still spoke to him. He still desired to use him. And eventually, God broke through to Manoah, who finally comprehended that it was the Lord. And then he did raise his son according to the Nazirite regulations. Now, as we close, you are men who love the Lord. You are men who get to spend time with Jesus Christ every day. Not only that, but our God is literally present with us moment by moment as the Holy Spirit dwells within us. You are men who love your Bibles. You love God's Word. And so take heart. The God of these Christophanies, who showed himself as a God who loves to reveal, a God who loves to give guidance, that same God is with you today wherever you're going. And he has prepared for you his Word in totality so that you can live moment by moment in his strength and in his will. And so keep your eyes and ears open, stay rooted in God's Word, Have faith in the promises that the Lord has made to you personally, and be excited by the fact that our wonderful God desires to do wonderful things as you live out life before Him in the time and the place that He has prepared for you.